The purpose of this retreat is multi-layered. First, I want to help you to hear God's voice. I want to give you tools so that you can do God's will. That is really, if this retreat had a theme, the theme would be doing God's will for my life personally, small scale, large scale. Jesus promises, you will do greater things in my name. Jesus said, I have to leave you so that you can have the Holy Spirit. It is better that I go to my Father so that you can have the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and he says, I have come to set the world on fire. Our Lord said that the gates of hell will not prevail. And we read that as this, oh, I'm gonna hide in my closet. We will hide from the devil and he will not take over the church. Oh, it's so scary because the bishops are, they're modernists. Oh, wow, I'm so scared. Are we gonna be anybody left at the end? That's not what Jesus's plan was for the church. Jesus's plan for the church was victory, was winning. When he said the gates of hell shall not prevail, he meant the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That we are the ones who are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, going marching into quote unquote hell, so to speak. And when we go there, things change. Walls come down. Demons are cast out. Lives change. Hope is given. Life is given. But the reality is that if you're being honest, that's not the reality of the church. That's not the reality of the church. But I didn't come to give you this retreat so that you can be depressed about the outlook of the world. And the outlook of the world is bad. It's bad. It's dark. It's dark. But God has chosen you. God chooses weak people. A lot of times we think to ourselves, my family is a divorce. Oh, I'm Hispanic. Oh, I am Indian. Oh, I'm not very smart. I'm not very bright. I don't do good in school. I'm the bad kid. That does not matter to our Lord. Our Lord loves the bad kid. He loves the bad kid. He loves dumb people. That's why his apostles started off as fishermen. That's the kind of guy that Jesus Christ chose to pick to start his church. And that's why he's chosen you. And I'm going to prove it to you that you're chosen. You have the Catholic faith. You have something that people have been searching for. Every heart has been made in the image and likeness of God. They will only be satisfied by God, and it's been given to you. I had to search for it. I wasn't living the Catholic faith. I had to find and do research and then make my sacrifices. God has chosen you to have that. God has chosen for you to be here. God has chosen you specifically. Why? So that you can do his most holy will. On your paper, I want you to write a large capital W. This is important. This is the secret to life. This is not my idea. This is the idea of St. Maximilian Kolbe. We'll be learning about him more tomorrow. I'm going to give you a math equation. So there's going to be three parts to the math equation. Large capital W, a plus sign, smaller one, like maybe a third of the size of the large capital W, and then a lowercase w. So W plus W equals the letter S. This is the secret to life according to Maximilian Kolbe. He originally gave this at a conference in Rome to seminarians, and he was trying to explain to them the secret to sanctity, the secret to being able to cast out demons in Jesus' name, the secret to being able to work wonders in the Holy Spirit, the secret to changing the world. So if you're hearing this message, it is precisely because God has chosen you to change the world. That sounds like a tall order. Let me be more clear. That does not mean that you are called to be a preacher. That does not mean that you are called to be on the street corner evangelizing. That means that God has a plan specifically for you to change somebody's world. Imagine if somebody came into your world, you're on the brink of starvation, you can't pay the rent at your home, and somebody randomly come off the street and says, here is money for a year's worth of your apartment rent, for example. Great act of charity. That wouldn't change the world, but that would change your world. And to you, that's everything. And so God has a plan for you to change somebody's world, whether that's a lot of people or a little bit of people, but even one person is God's will, and he's willing to die for that one person. The secret to sanctity. I'm going to give you a quote from Maximilian Kolbe, and then I'll explain this math equation. Christian perfection is union with the will of God. It's all throughout Scripture. If you start reading the Bible about God's will, that's all that matters. Not all of those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does my will. Father, take this chalice from me, but not my will, but yours be done. So important. So what is this equation? Capital W is God's will. Capital W is God's will. The plus sign, you know what a plus sign is, but Maximilian Kolbe gives it another symbol, is the cross, is sacrifice, and the little W is your will. If you unite your will to God's will, that equals sanctity. Now, Maximilian Kolbe spoke Latin, so he used the letter V. He used the letter V because in Latin, voluntas with the letter V. We're using the letter W, and I'll explain to you why tomorrow. Everything that we do today is to give you the easier way tomorrow. I'm laying down a firm theological foundation for you. To be holy is very simple. I only need to sacrifice my will to do God's will, and that makes you holy. That makes you holy. And this is what you have to understand about God. He made you. He made your heart. He made love. He made your body. He made your mind. I just gave a talk to the teenagers last night on theology of the body, human sexuality, etc. We're not going to talk about that. But the key message for them was God designed love. If you do it God's way and only if you follow God's plan, will love work. Similarly, God designed your heart. He designed your heart only to be satisfied when you are doing his will. We will chase many other things, but our number one goal, our fixed idea in our mind, when we wake up, when we sleep, he who has peace is this person who is seeking to do God's will. If you are seeking to do God's will, even if you're wrong, this is important because a lot of times people say, I'm not sure. Am I doing it? Am I not doing it? Are you trying to do God's will? I'm trying my hardest. That's all that matters, is that your will is set on seeking his will. Even if you're wrong, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord. Who is it that loves the Lord? He who seeks to do his will. And we'll just use this as an example. The capital W is the will of God the Father. The will of Jesus, he sacrificed his will, perfect sanctity. St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Therefore, St. Paul tried to unite his will to God's will, even in bad times. Maximilian Kolbe uses this quote or this equation to talk about the Virgin Mary, because she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that more tomorrow. But why is she the spouse of the Holy Spirit? How is she one with God? Not necessarily in feelings or emotions, because we read many times that she was anxious when she lost Jesus. She was united to God in her will. When we follow God's will, a lot of things happen. Peace comes to our soul. Bad things can be falling all around you, but when you're fulfilling God's will, you have peace of soul knowing, I'm in trouble, I need things, I'm doing God's will, he's going to provide for me. He's going to provide for me. Two, we call this divine providence. If you are following God's will, he will provide. The saints, for example, St. John Bosco, tries to build schools for the youth. He has no money. He knows it's God's will. The money arrives. Mother Angelica, she felt like it was God's will to make EWTN. She felt like it was God's will, and we're going to talk about how to know it later. She felt like it was God's will to buy a satellite dish that cost her $500,000, even though she only had $12. When the satellite dish arrives, not before, not after, in the present moment, when the satellite dish arrives, she goes to the chapel and says, Lord, your satellite dish is here. She starts crying because she said, did I make a mistake? I thought I was doing your will. As long as you're trying to do God's will, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord. A man calls on the phone. A sister comes in and says, Mother, and this is verifiable, Mother, there's a man on the phone. Tell him to go away. I need to pray. I'm begging God for money. Mother, he keeps calling back. Can I help you? Yeah, I just read one of your books. I was going to commit suicide. I'm in the Bahamas. I would like to make a contribution. How much? Oh, I need a contribution. How much do you need, Mother? $500,000. Oh, I'll give it to you. I'll wire it to you immediately. That's an extraordinary circumstance, but God will provide for what you really need. Our conception of what we need and what his is different. But also, he desires you follow his will so that you can save others. No miracles are done unless it is God's will. No souls are saved unless you are cooperating with God's will. If I were to come here and give you a talk, if I am not saying the message that I deeply believe that God wants me to say, there would be no fruit. But if even if I was a bumbling idiot, and I'm not, thank you, Jesus, I'm an idiot, but not a bumbling one. Even if I was a bumbling idiot who's doing God's will, fruit will come of that. Your number one goal in life, do God's will. The mindset of most Catholics is, I will make a decision, and then I will ask God to bless my decision. Did you pray about it? Oh yeah, I prayed. No, you did not pray and ask, God, what is your will? You prayed and said, God, bless my will. Your number one desire needs to be, what is God's will? That's your only focus in life. Every day, you have to understand that our Lord is very personal. We have a deistic view that we're down here, God is up there, and we're praying, oh, God, please bless me with my needs. If you can hear me up there, that's not the way God works. God is personal. God is speaking to you at every moment. God is close to you, and God wants to change the world, and he wants to live through you. How does God live through you? Oh, there's only one way. When you do what he wants. One of my friends, she's a great speaker. She told a story of how she was in Bucky's and there was a person who had a crippled leg. And she's not a healer. She's a mom with four kids or five kids. And she felt in her conscience, God saying, go pray for that person. I am not a healer. I don't know what to do. And she obeyed what she believed was God's will. Even if she was wrong, God will bring good out of it. And because she obeyed, she healed somebody in the middle of the Buc-ee's. Next thing you know, another person sees this and they say, pray for me, I've got this. Next thing you know, they're having a spiritual revival in Buc-ee's of all the places. That same thing can happen in your high school. Not that you're necessarily going to heal people, but what you have to understand is, what is God's will? He has a plan for me. I'm going to teach you how do you know God's will. But first, I need to talk to you about something very large. God's biggest plan for you is your vocation. The biggest plan that God has for you is your large-scale vocation. This is where most Catholics fall into the greatest pit. So your vocation is so important because God has a plan for it. So many people, they rush into relationships. Why? Because that's what the TV tells me to do. They show all this activity outside of marriage. That must be the good thing. The people on TV look happy. That's not God's plan. It's not God's plan for family life. So fix firmly in your mind, God created me. God loves me. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for my vocation, first and foremost. Why? Because that is a very powerful place. I'm going to tell you a startling statistic. It's going to startle you. And I try to talk to my friends who are involved in vocations to share with them this statistic. This is according to St. John Bosco and according to St. Alphonsus Liguori. Of every three children born, at least one has a call to the consecrated life, whether that be the priesthood, whether that be religious. St. John Bosco reiterated, of every three children born, at least one. A lot of times people will come and talk about vocations and they will talk to the whole school and say, maybe one of you will consider becoming a priest. I promise you it is a good life. I really do enjoy it. No, you talk about God's will, and if it's God's will that they all become priests, then so be it. Then so be it. So you have a vocation. Be open to it, whatever that vocation may be. I'm not saying one third of you must sign up. Okay, we're not leaving here till one third. No. What is God's will for you? Be open to that. Believe that he has put something in your heart, something that only he can satisfy. And you might say, but I love children. I know. I bet Father David loves children too. But I am so thankful that he chose God's path, because he's going to save every single one of our souls by hearing our confession. I had a sister who was teaching me at University of St. Thomas, Sister Claire Hunter. I bet she would have been an amazing mom. But thank God she followed God's path because she saved me. She really did. She said, you're a sinner. You need to go to this party we're having. Party? I'll be there. Are there girls? Oh, yeah, there'll be girls. It was a confession. It was a mass confessional thing. But thank goodness that she followed God's will. Thank goodness. So be open to it. Listen to the voice of God and trust that his plan for you is the best plan. Now, how do I know God's will? This is very important. if God were to tell you something, would you stomp your feet and say, I don't want to, I'm doing something right now? Yes, you would. So we're going to go through the regular ways that God reveals his will to you. Just authority. When a just authority asks, and this is important, I'm going to teach you a term you probably haven't heard before. When your just authority asks you to do something reasonable, that just authority is the voice of God. It is the voice of God. We call that the flow of grace. Whenever I want to do something odd or strange, I go to Father David and I say, Father, can I do X, Y, or Z? And he says, you know, I really like you and we agree on everything. Why are you asking me? I say, because I want the flow of grace. I want the blessing. If you become a religious, your religious superior is where this flow of grace is coming. But you're not a religious. Actually, in a way, you are. You live in this little place called the domestic church, which is your house. And the presider over the domestic church is the father. And then the mother, they work together if you want to have a peaceful home. And when they ask you to clean your room, it is the very voice of God. It is the very voice of God asking you to clean your room. Now, you have, let's say you have twins in your family. Twins, two people, same exact temperament, exact personality. You, let's say you're one boy, one girl. The girl, when mom says, come wash the dishes, says, do I have to? You can ask, is this something that I have to do right now? Of course, with a loving, is this something you'd like me to do now or you'd like me to do later? That's okay to ask your superior for clarification. And then they say, I'd like you to do that now, please. Yes, ma'am. And she washes the dishes lovingly, does not stomp her feet. And then we have another person who's, can you wash the dishes? Do I have to do that now? But with an attitude. And then they say, I don't want to. I'm trying to do my homework. You just told me to do this. You just told me to do that. One person is saintly. One person is satanically in a way, because you're, what are you doing? You're rebelling against God. So when you say yes, even when it's difficult, that is what makes you holy. That is what gives you the flow of grace. And that is what gets God's blessing upon you. When your teacher tells you it's time for a quiz, there's two ways to take a quiz. If you say, Lord, I offer you this quiz, every stroke of my pen, I am doing it out of love for you. Two people take the same quiz, one becomes a saint. And it's all about your attitude. There's a poster that I used to read on my high school math class that used to say, a bad attitude is like a bad tire. Without changing it, you're going nowhere. Your attitude is everything. There are so many things you have to do already and that you are going to do, you might as well allow those things to make you a saint. I beg of you, try it. And you will see miracles happen. You will see miracles happen. When you do ordinary things according to God's will, I'm going to save this analogy for tomorrow, but I'll just give you one example. Mary was perfectly united to the will of God. When she visited her cousin Elizabeth, all she said to her was, Hail Elizabeth. Elizabeth says, from the moment your greeting reached my ears, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the child in my womb leapt for joy. Elizabeth was sanctified. The child John in the womb was sanctified, converted, all sin forgiven in the womb. Why? Because what is our math equation? Capital W plus lowercase w equals S, equals union with God. So because Mary was doing God's will, she was able to affect change in a person's life. So number one way that you know God's will is by obedience, 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 obedience. Now, I'm going to read something to you very important. I rarely read, and when I do, it's only because this is such an unbelievable thing I'm going to read to you. This is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Let me open it up. Ooh, ooh. All right, this is the second way you hear his voice. Deep within his conscience, man discovers a law which he has not laid upon himself, but which he must, capital must obey. Its voice ever calling him to love and to do what is good and to avoid evil sounds in his heart at the right moment. I'm going to keep reading and then I'll go deeper in. For man has in his heart a law inscribed by God. His conscience is man's most secret core and his sanctuary. There, he is alone with God, whose voice echoes in his depths. So deep in your conscience, at the right moment, you're going to feel, it's not a voice, they use the word voice, it's more like a tugging. It's like a tugging, oh, that interior tugging, you have to be open to. It takes a couple seconds. You have to pause and say, God, what do you want for me? And he reveals this to you at every single moment. And he only reveals it to you in the present moment. Ordinarily, we call that actual grace. The grace that God gives you in the present moment to do his will is revealed to you by your legitimate superior or your conscience. Sometimes it might seem, I'm not feeling it right now. Ask yourself, should I be doing something? Oh, yeah, I should be in this thing right now, doing the retreat. Very good. It is God's will that you're doing this to the best of your ability. And if you are, that makes you holy. So that's one way, very important. And I'm going to teach you how to fine-tune this. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for example, I dropped my wallet and a $100 bill, and I can assure you there ain't no $100 bills in my wallet. Can I hear it? Yeah, maybe maximum. Well, I got a $1 bill. Woo! So you find my wallet on the floor, and you open it, and you say, that $1 looks good. I can buy myself an ice cream sandwich with that $1. And then you see the ID. And inside of you happens a struggle. In your heart, you're torn. Should I give the dollar back? I know whose wallet it is. Should I say, I found the wallet, here's your wallet, and keep the dollar? So you know that struggle. You've all felt it before whenever you're about to do something good or bad. That tug on your heart is literally the voice of God speaking to you. Do not ignore that. If you could give that tugging words, and we're going to practice this in a moment. If you could give that tugging words, what would those words say? Put the dollar back, go give the wallet to him. You don't hear those here, but you know if I translated this tugging in my heart into words, you know what it would say. Similarly, if you see an old lady and she's trying to get her groceries into the car and it's starting to rain and you're walking by with nothing in your hands, you feel that tugging, I should help her, but I'm shy, I don't talk to strangers. If you could give that tugging words, what would it say? Help that old lady. God speaks. Now, I'm going to give you other ways to know God's will. We call the next one consultation with God. Consultation. So the first way is legitimate superiors. The second way is my conscience. The third way is consultation. You could say, what would our Lord do in this circumstance? What would he ask of me? You're thinking, should I go to this party? Should I listen to this song? Your conscience is troubled. You don't want to do it. You got this wrestling going on. What would Jesus say about this? Because you know Jesus, even without asking him, then you would be like, I can't listen to this. I can't do this. I should not do this. I need to go to church. I need to go hang out with my mom. I need to help her. Jesus is still alive, and you can ask him, and he will actually speak to you. When you genuinely want to know his will, he will reveal it to you. If it feels like he's not, it's because sometimes there are bigger things that are so important, you need more prayer. You need more grace because it's going to be big. Scripture. How do I know what Jesus is saying to me? This is very important. Very important. Do you know Jesus? Most people don't. Most people think Jesus is nice. That is not in any way, shape, or form, how I would describe my Lord. It's kind of like in the Chronicles of Narnia, is Aslan tame? Oh, he's not a tame lion, but he's very good. So let me give you an example. A Syrophoenician woman goes to Jesus because her daughter has a demon. And Jesus responds to her, I have come for the lost children of Israel. It is not fitting for me to take the food for the children and give it to the dogs. He calls this woman a dog. And then the woman responds, but master, even the dogs get the scraps off of the child's table. And he says, your daughter is healed. You may go. You may go now. Your faith has saved her. Incredible, 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 absolutely incredible. Jesus appears to insult. Jesus appears to kind of take a step back, but he's really doing something deeper. So you have to get to know who he is. What did he say? Anybody who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anybody who loves brother or sister more than me is not worthy of me. Anybody who wishes to save his life must lose it. If you wish to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Our Lord wants everything. He wants you to die so that he can live in you. The only way he can work through you is if you're trying to do his will. Keyword, trying. So you need to know scripture. You need to pray with the Bible. But more importantly than that, I would say even, is you need to learn how to hear him speaking to you through scripture. So how does Jesus speak to you through scripture? Yes, directly by giving you quotes, and I can read that like a newspaper, but the word is living. And he speaks to you, and I'm going to use an analogy from the movie The Princess Bride. It's got some parts you should probably not hear about, but when I was a kid, I didn't notice them. So there's just also this thing called Clear Play or VidAngel where you can get rid of some of the questionable things. Be careful what you put into your brain, because once it's in here, it's in there. In the beginning of The Princess Bride, Buttercup is like a well-off farm girl, and Wesley is a stable guy, and he loves Buttercup. And she is constantly saying, "Farm boy, fetch me some water. Farm boy, go and get the hay. Farm boy, yada, yada." And Wesley says, "As you wish." "Get me some water." "As you wish." "Go bring this." "As you wish." And then the narrator says, who's got the most killer voice, he says, "And Buttercup knew that every time that Wesley was saying, 'As you wish,' what he really meant was, 'I love you.'" So although he was saying one thing, he was able to communicate to Buttercup's heart another thing. And that's also what our Lord does. I'm going to teach you how to do Lectio Divina my way. There's other ways to do it. My way is we're going to kneel, and you're going to do this on your own. We're going to go through one practice session, and then you're going to go do one on your own. We're going to kneel down, and I can't do this for you. You have to be genuine about this part. Not yet. Don't kneel down yet. We're going to pray to the Holy Spirit. You have to mean it deep in your soul. When we say, "Holy Spirit, help me to hear God's voice," say it from the heart, okay? And then I'm going to read this passage to you, and you're going to read it along. And then we're going to read it again, and again, and again, and again. And you should have a pen. And then we're going to pray, "Lord, have something stand out to me." Other words are going to fade away. Certain verses are going to stand out to you. Certain things are going to stand out to you. So, for example, in my own life, when I read this, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." He's talking about something totally different. When I prayed with this, I took it as a personal confrontation, Jesus confronting me about my own Eucharistic practice, telling me I don't adore him enough in the chapel. That's not what he's talking about here. But he's saying, "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." So why don't I, me, Gabriel Nicholas, I'm revealing to you my faults. I do this a lot. Why don't I go to the chapel? Because I'm too busy trying to take care of business, trying to work, trying to make sure I meet ends. And Jesus is saying, "Come to me in the chapel. Anybody who comes to me will never hunger." It's going to be different for everybody. When you pray, you're going to underline what stands out to you, as it stands out to you. Then this is the part that's hard, because any verse can stand out to you for any reason. The hard part is this: "Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you trying to tell me? Why are you making this stand out to me?" That's the key. And that's when I want you to do something that's a little scary. I want you to write the movement of your heart. So if you feel a tugging in your heart, don't think about it. If you're thinking about it, you can say, "I'm manufacturing this in my brain." Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that our conscience reveals to us in the moment God's will, calling us to love and to avoid evil. Just write from God's perspective. So this is a tie between consultation and conscience. So you're saying, "Jesus, why is this standing out to me?" What would Jesus say to you if that was, he would say, "My son, I have come down from heaven. I am your peace. Trust me." Or whatever it is, I don't know, I'm just saying. And then your conscience is going to continue tugging, and you just give words to those movements of the conscience. Don't analyze it right now. You can do that later. Just practice being comfortable with being open with what your conscience is saying. After that, you will ask, "Lord, what do you want of me?" Again, this is a prayer. If you don't pray, this won't happen. If you do not ask, he will not answer. If you do not seek, you will not find. Why are we underlining words? If you can imagine in your mind somebody digging for gold, you have your metal detector, you're going around, it's kind of like that as I'm reading it over and over. You're sifting through your mind, what is it that's standing out to me? All right, in the words of the great G.K. Chesterton, let's do this. Please kneel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, we are at your disposal. You teach us how to pray because we don't know how. You teach us how to hear because we don't know how. We beg of you, help us to hear your voice. Help us to feel your presence in this room. Come upon us and overshadow us. Fill this room with your presence, Lord. Blessed Mother, you are the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Anything we ask of you, he will grant. Come, Holy Spirit, come by me into the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by me into the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by me into the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Blessed Mother, we entrust and consecrate this Lectio Divina to you. Guide our hand when we are too afraid to move it. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We'll read it together. You read in your mind. I'll read it out loud. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. I'll read it two more times. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Holy Spirit, we ask of you to help a phrase or word or a series of words stand out to us. Give us the grace to underline those words that are standing out to us. Help the other words that do not stand out to us to fade away. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. I encourage you to start underlining. If you don't have anything that stands out for any reason, if it stands out, go ahead and underline. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in me shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. I will read it one last time. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. We ask you, Lord, what are you saying to me through these verses? Magnify the word of the Lord in our hearts, Blessed Mother. Go ahead and write what you feel in your heart he's saying. I will continue to read for those who need me to continue to read. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Thank you so much for watching this video. I really hope you enjoyed it. This is just one in a 6-part retreat that I gave. I'm going to be releasing these once a week for the next 6 weeks. So go ahead and share it now so that your family and friends don't get left behind. Also, hit subscribe because we have amazing productions coming up. We have a documentary on Saint Therese coming up. We have a documentary on the life of Mother Angelica. Also, I know you noticed me noticing that I was wearing a sweet hoodie during that little retreat that I gave. Where did I get that hoodie? I don't sell these hoodies, but my assistant, she's got an incredible Etsy store. It's called Mama Mary's Merch. You love that alliteration? Well, you can get a hoodie just like this and many other things there. I will put links in the description below. God bless you. God love you. And we'll see you very soon.